It is a treat. It is always a treat for me to come here and to practice my English. Usually I'm not preaching in English, but really thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for the opportunity. The truth is I have no idea where to start to share with you what the Lord has been doing in Cincinnati. There's so much. One of the main things that we'd like for you to pray for us is that recently we were blessed by the Lord to, I don't know how to put it this, to transition to a bigger building that we are right now. And the church that has sold us the old building where we were before, they were gracious to us in thinking of us to transition to this bigger building in the same price that we had paid the old one. I mean, it's only the Lord has been doing all those things, and I'm still overwhelmed, and I have no idea how, if we should have planned it for it, it never would come up the same way as the Lord had done. And if you want to see what the Lord has been doing there in Cincinnati, you are welcome anytime. You come and see, like Philip said to one of those people, say, hey, I want you to come and see what the Lord is doing here in this place. Pray for our people. They are very struggling so much right now. I'm pretty sure that's happening in every church. They're struggling a lot with their faith, getting cold because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand what the Lord is doing this in allowing us to go through these situations, but with those that are really faithful, we are trying to be faithful to the Lord and work and be intentionally inviting others, because a lot of churches, they're just keeping it, you know, low, doing something online and all that. I'm not used to that, and still to this moment. It was hard. It was hard for us to be able to do and preach to a little small screen, you know, and try to minister to people through that way. And while we were doing that, there were a lot of folks in our congregation saying, Pastor, pray for me because I feel like I'm colder than an ice cube. It's been hard for us as well. So, and I would like you to pray for us in that way so our people will be more giving to the work, and also to those that still not coming because they are scared or I don't know what's in their minds, but please pray for that. Like I said, I mean, it's so many stuff has been going on in our ministry. Even though we closed down, you know, in March, somewhere around that time, but behind, you know, the curtains, the Lord has been working. We baptize. We still doing, you know, ministry and all of that. I think I'm more busy now than I was before, because I'm trying to do things online, because it's not only our people watching our services. There's people in Peru, Brazil, Guatemala, and all over the place in South America. They're watching our services. So, and we had one petition from our family said, I saw that you guys already come back to your church and you're having, you know, physical services now, and we were not doing online things. And he said, would you mind to do, because it's not only me and my family. There's a lot of us here, you know, watching you. And because in Peru, they were not able to go to church. And I don't know how it's everything going on down there, because there's different in different parts of the country. Where my parents are, I mean, he was not able to have services until recently. And they were praising the Lord when they were ready to come back to church. But anyway, I think, you know, hearing from Brother Marks, everything is changing now. So let's pray for them as well. So, like I said, if you want to know more, a little bit more about the ministry, there's so much that I can tell you that I will take maybe the whole time of preaching tonight to update you what's going on. But I would like to invite your attention to the book of Philippians chapter 4. I don't want to keep you that long tonight. Philippians chapter 4. And before we read our passage for tonight, I would like to say that it's a tremendous joy for me to be here with you this evening. And I count it as an honor, again, to stand before you. And for me, it is a very humble experience to share with you, as I said it before, you know, the Word of God in a different language that I'm used to preach. And also, I would like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for continuing partnering with us in this new year that is coming. I mean, the Lord, I have no idea what He has in store for us and for all of us, but I really thank you for partnering with us. And in order to reach the Spanish speaking souls for the Lord in the Cincinnati area. And I really pray often for you to be used by God, and also may the Lord reach you, bless you. First of all, individually, that the Lord bless you, and then as a church for the sacrifice and for your prayers and the support that you share with us for many years now. And having said that, and as we come to the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul describes us here about what a mission-minded church should look like and what a mission-minded church should be. These are very good subjects, important subjects for me. I don't have the time to be able to go through those things that I have prepared for you tonight, but I believe that my goal, my main goal is to get across at least one subject that we're going to see tonight, and you may understand about missions. I know you are a very mission-minded church. You support missionaries. You are invested in supporting missionaries. Truth is also that, and I'm very confident that this evening we are not going to see everything concerning what it means to be a mission-minded church. We can take a month, you know, to be able to touch everything what the Bible teaches about this subject. Since the Bible covers so much information on this subject, I'd rather this evening would like to consider the subject of the profile of a mission-minded church. The profile of a missions-minded church, which is the title of our message for tonight, this evening. Again, let me repeat to you, the profile of a mission-minded church. I use the word profile because in this message I would like to give you a few descriptions through the Church of Philippi of what a missions-minded church look like and what a missions-minded church should be. But before we dive into this subject, I would like to examine first what the real meaning of missions is, or what specifically missions is. And I think, like I said before, we're not just going to focus on that subject because there's so much that I would like to tell you about this. It is a series of messages that I have prepared in the past about missions that it was always in my heart to share with any church that I go and preach, because I feel and I believe that the real meaning of missions has changed so much today. So the Church of Philippi was a church that was set apart from all of the other churches of the Apostle Paul's day. And with this statement, I'm not trying to minimize the other churches that existed in that time, because there were many great churches of the Lord established by Paul around the same time. But specifically, the Church of Philippi has so much to say about to us about how a mission-minded church should be, or what should look like a mission-minded church. So our text reads in the book of Philippians chapter 4 in verse 15, the Bible says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye had sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege and an honor in allowing us to be here in your house to worship you in the spirit and in truth. And Lord, now that we come to the opening of your word, Lord, I ask you to minister to our hearts. And Lord, I ask you to come to our hearts at this moment and fill us with your presence. Let every heart, every mind be open and attentive to what you have to tell us about what to do about missions and what really is. So Lord, I ask you to use me as an instrument for your glory and honor. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And that the utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. David Livingstone was a Scottish missionary who has spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He endured much suffering as he labored to spread the gospel and open to the continent to missionaries. And this godly missionary once remarked, and quote, "People talk of the sacrifice that I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice? Which is simply a payback as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which can never be repaid. It is emphatically no sacrifice." That's what he said. "Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, now and then with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory we shall hereafter be revealed in and for us." And he said this, "I never made a sacrifice. Of these, we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." End quote. So my brothers and sisters, this is the kind of attitude and the kind of passion that we all ought to have for God's kingdom and his work. The truth is, if we really think about it, it is not a sacrifice that we are making when we do missions. It is not. But rather, it is a privilege. It is an honor to be invested and mission, and the work that the Lord has set for us. It is an honor that we were given by God to do his work on this earth. For most of us to do missions, it is proper. I mean, if I told you the word mission, what it comes first to your mind? For most of us, it is probably the idea of going to some foreign country land to preach the gospel. Amen? Maybe that's your idea of missions. I don't know.
Yet, there are many different missions that we can be part of without going to a foreign country. Amen. For example, for those in the military, at one time, the word mission invoked the thought of some field training exercise. So, when we think of missions, naturally, we think of missionaries in going to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in places like Africa or in third world countries. Although, this is one view of missions, but missions is so much more than that. I believe that we ought to be extremely mission-minded church, a mission-minded church. And I'm all for that cooperative programs the churches so many times do, health programs, missions offerings, and etc. I'm all for that. What I'm not for is thinking that because we send some money and we give money towards missions, or we send some help a little bit here and a little bit there, that means that we have to fulfill our duties in regards to missions. We are wrong. And listen, my brothers and sisters, with this statement, I'm not trying to minimize your investment. The investment and the sacrifice that you make every time that you give towards missions. I'm not trying to minimize that. Because it is a very important part and a necessary one for you to give and to invest in missions. Why? Because that keeps going, it keeps moving, you know, in ministry. To be a mission-minded church is more than that. As we start our text this evening, we are going to see the missions, and listen very carefully what I'm going to say here tonight. Missions, it's not all about giving. Missions is not all about going. And missions is not all about doing a good cause here or elsewhere. It is part of it. It is part of it, and a very necessary one. But it's not the whole picture of what missions is. So according to our text, if we pay close attention to it, you and I will discover that doing missions, giving to missions, and going to a mission field, it's about, number one, missions is about the love that we have for God and the compassion that we have for people's souls. That's what missions is all about. The love that we have for God and the compassion that we have for people's souls. Look what Paul says in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. No church communicated with me. Listen, when you are on a mission field, it is very hard to do mission work alone. I'm not talking about that you don't pray for us. I'm not talking about you don't support us, because it's very important. But knowing that some churches are communicating and saying, brother, I'm praying for you. I am for you. I'm here behind you. You know, you continue to do the work. Because sometimes when we are in the mission field, we feel like we are alone. I'm pretty sure here we feel the same way sometimes. And to do ministry by ourselves is never a good thing. So, Paul was saying here, no church communicated with me. Sometimes I think that Paul sometimes felt the same way that many missionaries or preachers feel. Like I was telling you in the beginning, when I was preaching to maybe a 5-inch screen, and no one was in the building. Sometimes I feel like, man, I don't know if people are listening. I don't know how in the world I'm going to minister to people through a screen, you know. Maybe people are listening, maybe they're not. And most of us maybe grow up now that it's easier to do church through the screen than to come to be here in the house of the Lord. So, and it's hard. And it's hard. It gets hard when you know that sometimes I don't know if people are praying for you. I don't know if our brothers and sisters really know what's going on in the places that we are serving. And we're going to get that to a moment as well. So the main key for missions is that through our doing, to what we are doing, and through our going and through our giving, we must demonstrate and share the love that we have for God. I know our church may support, I don't know how many missionaries you guys support, but let me tell you this. Everything that we do as a church is because something in us individually has impacted in our lives. And we decided as a church to go forward and support and pray for them. So when we take on for support to a missionary, and when we take the decision of praying for him, through that decision, you are showing the love that you have for God. Because sometimes to support missionaries, to do mission work, I believe that nowadays it becomes so mechanical because it's our duty, because what we're supposed to do. It is a notch in our belts. One more missionary, it makes us look good, you know? But it's not all about that. It's not all about that. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know this passage by memory. You have maybe read it more than once. But it has so much to say about not only missions, any area in our Christian life, but if we take it to talk about ministry and missions, it says so much about, you know, where our heart is and how we are doing mission work. Paul said it in there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you go with me there, you can see it in verse 1. Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and the Bible says in that I have no charity and have no love, the Bible says I become as a sounding brass. So everything that I'm doing for ministry, everything that I'm doing for missions is just a sounding brass. It's just a bunch of noise that we are making, you know? And the Bible says in there, or a tinkling cymbal. Paul continues to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, sometimes it may make us feel maybe if we support a missionary or we pray for a missionary, it makes us feel maybe more spiritual to us that we are doing that. But the Bible says, it doesn't matter if I have all faith. It doesn't matter if it makes me look more spiritual to me doing mission work or investing missions. The Bible says so that I can move or remove mountains, but I have no love. The Bible says I'm nothing. I'm doing nothing. We are doing nothing. And though I bestow, and that's what I kind of catch my attention when I was reading this. The Bible says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You know, let's help this missionary because he doesn't have anything to eat. You know, let's help all those people over there that don't have anything to eat. Or let's dig some holes so they can have water. You know, and that makes us feel good that we are doing something. Some people think that today that missions is taking pictures with children with flies in their faces. Because that makes us look good. That makes us feel like we are doing something for missions. We give them some food, and we are doing a great work, you know, when we send and people see that the things that we are doing. I found this quotation in Spanish. I don't know if it is going to come across the way that I want, but this person said, "Missions is not to focus on the flies of the children's faces, but rather in their souls, in the need of a Savior." That's what missions is all about. And Paul continues saying in this portion of the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, "And though I give my body to be burned as a martyr," and he said, "and have no charity, it profiteth me nothing." Everything that we are doing is just, like Paul said in the beginning, just making noise. Just doing whatever other churches are doing. You know, helping other missionaries, taking pictures and feeding them, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, that's not mission work. That is not to do missions. Missions is all about how we put into practice what Jesus did in his early ministry, which the Apostle Paul put it in a very good way in the book of Matthew chapter 9. And I believe you have read this passage before as well. But when I really pay attention to it, I had to do it. You know, I preach a lot of sermons from that passage. But in order to be able to refocus myself and my vision towards mission, to be able to share with our people, and not to forget that the main reason why we do those things. So I had to come back and read it again and really pay attention to what really missions is. Yes, when you open the Bible there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and that's what most of the people will focus on, they say, okay, but Jesus healed. Yes, healed. He healed the sick. Jesus, yes, he fed the people. He did that. And yes, he did charity to the people around him. But the main ingredient that I found here overall was that he preached the gospel to them. He preached the gospel to them. And what he was preaching, in verse 36, the Bible says in there, "But when he saw the multitude." You have read it many times, this passage. But when the Lord wants to speak to you, it doesn't matter how many times you have read that passage. It really caught my attention when I read this. "When he saw the multitude." In other words, Jesus got acquainted with a real need. It was not to cast the demons outside of a person's life. It was not to feed the 5,000. It was not that. Jesus looked into or through that those necessities, which was the real necessity of a Savior. So the question that I want to ask you, or maybe personally, I want you to think and examine yourself, is this: when was the last time you were acquainted with any ministry or any mission work that your church supports? When was the last time that you personally took time to see what was going on in each or any ministry that your church is invested on? When was the last time you actually took time to read a report and pray for the needs that those missionary families have? When was the last time? You may be saying there in your seats, well, my church already prays for them. You know, we already praise. It's a body. No. I'm asking you. Maybe your church supporting missionaries. But how about you? Where is your focus in missions, in ministry? Because when you get acquainted with a mission, when you get acquainted with a missionary family, or when you get acquainted to whatever ministry that is going on in our ministry, you're going to start looking ministry in a different way. You're not going to see a mechanical, okay, we need help in this area, or we need help. No. Your heart, your focus will be in a different way. When was the last time that you really prayed for a ministry? I mean, pray specifically for a ministry. And not just for that, but for the salvation of the souls. Because, like I said in the beginning, when we get acquainted, this is what happens. When we get acquainted with what the ministries that we are investing on, this will happen. In verse 36, that's what it also says. Not just when he saw the multitudes, the Bible says in there that he was moved. Jesus was moved with compassion on them. So, now you see there the real meaning of ministry, of missions. That everything that you do and everything that you give has a purpose, has a real meaning for you. When you get acquainted to a mission, to a ministry, you come to know the real meaning of mission because you get acquainted with it. And start feeling the same that Jesus has felt. Like Jeremiah felt when he saw his people when they were getting away from the Lord. They didn't want to do anything with God. And when Jeremiah saw that, got acquainted with that, he not only prayed for them, but he said this in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. My eye affected my heart. So that's what missions is. It's not just about giving. It's not about just going or doing something. It's to get acquainted with what we are doing. It's a purpose. In verse 14 of our text in Philippians 4, the Bible says in there, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. That's what Paul said. Paul needed that. That not only we are giving, we are doing missions, but he said, you are also invested in here in everything that we are doing. So, missions is making an eternal impact in people's lives through our love that we have for God and for His work. That's what mission is all about. Through our giving, through our going, and through our doing, we manifest to the people that we love God and that we have compassion for their souls. Also, doing missions and giving to missions and going to missions is not only about the love that you have for God, and the compassion that you have for people's souls, but missions is also about the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in the church. Verse 15, the Bible says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The church in Philippi didn't help or send help to Paul just because they felt that it was good to do so. But they were because they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Bible says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye had sent once and again unto my necessities." That's what the Holy Spirit does. So mission is not about what we think it is right or what we feel that is good. Missions is all about to where the Holy Spirit leads. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Bible says in there, the Holy Ghost said. So in other words, missions is about the guiding of the Holy Spirit in the church to the places that we may go. And it's about the leading in the hearts of God's people to whom we'll go to proclaim to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what mission is all about. And number three, doing, giving, and going to missions is not only about the love that we have for God. It's not only about the compassion that we have for people's souls. It's not only about the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in the church. But doing, giving, going to missions is all about prayer. The Bible says in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." Amen. By Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we read this portion of the scripture, we think, okay, financial help, financial needs. But you know what? Sometimes us as missionaries, we not only need the money or the support that we receive, which is very important. We'll live by it, you know. But sometimes, you know, what we most need sometimes is somebody to listen to us. Somebody, sometimes to know that somebody's praying for us. Sometimes we want to know that people are behind us, praying for us. Sometimes we need people that encourage us in moments that sometimes we feel like giving up. So when the Bible says that the Lord will supply over all of our needs, it doesn't need only about money. It may also mean a word of encouragement. You know, that somebody's praying for us. And when you call or you send a note or you send a text or do something for those missionaries, we know that we are cared for. And that God's people is praying for us. And that sometimes means more than sometimes receiving the amounts of support. It keeps us going. We have a church that usually every single month they send us a letter saying we're praying for you. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm going and struggling in many ways in our ministry, just opening up that card and reading that letter, sometimes it's an encouragement to us. Sometimes it's not just me that is going through difficulties in my life, or I'm not the only one feeling alone doing the ministry, but sometimes our families, you know, when somebody sends a card and say, "Hey, I'm praying for your wife. I'm praying for your kids." That means a lot to us. That means a lot to the families. You know, that means that you are invested, not only just, "Well, there's my money. Well, there's whatever you want to do with that." No, you are invested. You are acquainted with the things that we are doing. And that's what missions is. You know, a lot of people just maybe want to give, whatever the church wants to do with that. That's not all about mission. We lost our purpose in that. So when we do, when you give, when you're invested in ministry, try to make acquaintance with whatever you are doing, whatever your church is doing. You know? I don't know how many missionaries you have. But listen, when was the last time that you specifically prayed for a family of those missionaries? Not just send money, but you really, family, we're going to gather in our table. We're going to pray specifically for this missionary. We're going to pray for the wife of this missionary. We're going to pray for the children of this missionary. I don't know what they're going through. We don't know. You know, but through what we do, you are showing that God really, you know, it's moving in your heart. And when you do that, I say, man, that man is not only giving his money, giving whatever he wants to give, but he also is invested in that. And you start really relating to what Jesus had done here on this earth. Like I said, I mean, there's so much that I would like to say about missions that I have seen many years that we wanted to say something about missions. We wanted to make, I don't know, something, a radical change in missions nowadays. Because I think we are more focused on how many people we are feeding than how many people are we really giving the gospel to them. You know, I've seen many churches today that online they're doing stuff like giving food and doing this and that. It makes us look bad to us that we are supposedly not doing anything because they're giving money, they're giving food, they're doing all this stuff to those people that don't have anything to eat, they don't have jobs and all that. And sometimes when we can't do that, and I said, sometimes I feel like Peter and John said, I don't have anything. What I have, I give to you. I'll be praying for you. You know, I give you Jesus. The people don't want Jesus. They want money. They want help. They want anything besides Jesus. And so when we come to the ministry and when we see what's going on in missions today, we need to change our focus on that. Many, many, many people are going to condemnation without knowing the real meaning for missions. So everything that we are called to do, everything, absolutely everything, it will be impossible if we even try to do mission work without prayer. It is impossible doing it without love. It is impossible to do ministry or to do missions without the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you this, it will be catastrophic even if we dare to do mission work without prayer. Someone said, it is necessary for us to always seek the Lord's guidance through prayer in order to obtain heavenly results while doing, going, and giving into missions. Someone also said, the believers who have the gospel, and that's what happens, it's happening more often nowadays, keep mumbling it over and over to themselves for whatever they're mumbling. Meanwhile, millions who have never heard it once fall into eternal condemnation without even hearing the true salvation, the true story of salvation. So, let us pray that we must stop focusing on ourselves when we do missions, but rather focusing on others that are in the need of a Savior. I have to change our focus. I think I mentioned it to you time ago that I have to change my focus to be able to have an impact on other people. I had to change my prejudice. I had to change my ways of how I speak. I had to change the way how I think because I felt much better than the others, you know. And even the Spanish that we spoke is much better than any other Spanish here. So I had to change. I had to be Mexican to the Mexicans. I had to be Guatemalans to the Guatemalans. So I had to get acquainted with their needs. And then you understand what Jesus felt when he said, I saw the multitudes. And he was moved. He was moved with compassion on them. So when you get acquainted to a mission work or to a ministry, you're not only going to give just because, but you're going to get acquainted to it and you will understand the real meaning of missions. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about his glory. It's all about seeing people getting saved by the preaching of the gospel of our Lord. And you know what? Not only your money is heaven,
an impact on their lives. But you know what? Your prayers, your concern, your love is impacting their souls. So my brothers and sisters, let us proclaim the gospel through our love that we have for God and for others for their salvation. And let us be led by the Holy Spirit to be used by reaching others for God's kingdom. And let us pray. Let us pray to the Lord to open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ among others. So the question here is this, and I'm going to leave you with this. How are you doing mission work lately? How have you been giving to missions till today? Just because out of duty? Just because we have to do it? But it's because you love God and you want to see people saved. And you really mean and you really are in it, not just superficially, but you are invested in it. So I encourage you to do that this week, to pick up maybe one of those missionaries that are a stick on your refrigerator and pray for them. Not only just say, I'll be praying for you. No, really, pray for them. Pray for them. Not just say it, do it. You know, we must be people, we must be doers of the word, not just saying it, what we're going to be doing. So let's do it intentional. That's my word for this coming year, intentional. Intentional, we're going to keep our church open. Intentional, we are going to be so winning. Intentionally, we are going to invite people to the Savior. Intentionally, we are going to preach. Intentionally, we are going to do anything. That's my word this year, this coming year. Intentional. So, as we come to this new year, I hope that our focus and missions change. And let's get acquainted with them. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this time that you gave us in your word. And now, Lord, I ask you to let your word be planted in our hearts in order to bear fruit in the way that only you wants us to produce in our lives. So Lord, help us to be a missions-minded church. Help us to do the work that you have set for us to do, invest in missions the way that you only pleases you, Lord. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit guide us and lead us while we'll do those things. And we may touch many, many lives, many souls for their salvation and for your kingdom and for your glory. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.